Our season of creation has been, in my humble opinion, a lovely one. We have discussed the joys and challenges of new beginnings. We've explored how we humans are a direct reflection of the image of God, born out of God's unlimited imagination, and how that gives all created things innate value and a sense of belonging. We have given space to the negativity we find ourselves drawn so easily to, and have pondered the ways that we can, while still holding the difficulties and sorrows of life, allow ourselves to be led into God's light. Basking in the light of God, we open ourselves to give less power to our fear and anxieties, and more space to the love and gratitude the Holy One longs for us to know. And throughout all of our ponderings, God's beautiful creation has moved around us. We've watched the leaves change. We've heard the songs of the rings of Saturn. We've explored the beauty that might be found in the roots of a tree and that of our own faith. And today, even though the threat of snow is less of a threat and more of a certainty, we pause to give thanks for one more sunrise and the gift of this community of God. I've loved every moment of this season with you. If you have been following the UN summit on climate action this past week, or listened to any coverage of the climate strike marches that took place between September 20th and the 27th, right across the globe, you'll no doubt have come across this young girl, and Alex actually mentioned her in the children's time today. Her name is Greta Thunberg. In August of last year, after hearing in school the desperate situation our climate is in, she slipped into a deep depression. Greta has a condition called Asperger's syndrome, which causes her to be very straightforward and rather intense. It also gifts her with the ability to be incredibly focused. She says that after thinking and struggling with what she had learned about the climate, she woke up one day, ate breakfast, and knew what to do. She went on strike. She sat down outside the Parliament buildings in Sweden, alone. Even her parents didn't support her, she says. Nevertheless, she persisted and has vowed to continue this strike every Friday until Sweden is in line with the Paris Agreement, empowering a below 2 degrees global warming target. Though her protest started as a solitary one, it has, over the past year, garnered a great deal of attention. This week, she stopped the world in its tracks as she addressed the world's leaders at the UN like nothing I've seen before. I saw this video of Greta, who is 16 years old. My heart catches in my throat. I'm overcome by her emotion, her fear of what the future may hold, her courage to speak so boldly to a room of powerful and intimidating adults, many of whom she has offended. Her desperation to be heard, her deep desire as a young person to make a difference. I'm also overwhelmed by what she says because I don't really understand it. There are so many differing opinions and thoughts on climate change. No doubt for every person who says the climate is in trouble, you can find one who says we're fine and not to worry. My tendency is to go somewhere down the middle. It's hard enough for me to remember to buy milk on Friday after school and get my kids to school, or Friday after school and get my kids to the rink on time, to imagine wrestling with melting ice caps and increasing intensity of extreme weather and overcoming our addiction to fossil fuels. It hurts my brain. And so I do what I can. I do my best to recycle. I drive a hybrid car. I know someone can sell you one if you need it. I've planted over 800 trees in my yard in the last 14 years, some of which have lived. I'm far more aware today of how much single-use plastic invades our lives and yet frustrated by how it's nearly impossible to avoid them. I cringe when I see styrofoam anything. And though I feel rather powerless, I still know there's more that I should be doing. But what and how? There are plenty of places where we are told in Scripture to care for creation. places where we are told that the created world sings of God's glory and proclaims God's majesty. And as we planned for this particular Sunday where the children's story theme would stand up for me, I was drawn to the words of Micah. What does the Lord require of you but to seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? Now, to be fair, the book of Micah has nothing to do with climate change or action. The last thing on the prophet's mind, I'm quite sure, was rising sea levels and greenhouse gas emissions. But the book attributed to him, and that in truth is the product of centuries of tradition, is one that shines a light on the misconduct of those in positions of great power and consequently moves back and forth between redemption or judgment and restoration, condemnation and hope. I suppose what I find most unsettling about the book of Micah is that instead of pointing the finger at others' complicity in the world's injustice, this not so minor prophet requires us to consider our own. What is our role in it? And that's hard to hear. He took on the people who had a voice, had power, had privilege, and he demanded that they do better. Ultimately, the call of Micah is not unlike Greta's call of, how dare you? Both point their finger at people who could make a difference, but aren't. Terence E. Friedman of Working Creature wrote this week that in the book of Micah, the fundamental issue at stake between God and Israel has to do with a relationship that needs attention, and poses the question, does the relationship we have with God entail any expectation? According to Micah, the answer is yes. The expectation is that we seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. I love how the book of Micah opens with the entire earth holding the people accountable. Seems appropriate for this season and the global focus of the week. But in truth, the hyperbole style of the text calls us to examine our perception of what justice is, and what, if anything, we are willing to do, sacrifice, or change, that justice might be established. Now, anyone who says the answer is easy is fooling us. Justice is not generally easy, neither is loving kindness nor walking humbly, for that matter. If these things were easy, we'd all do them all the time. Like we learned last week, the human mind defaults to negativity. Justice, kindness, humility requires, well, effort, and a persistence that most of us grow weary of over time. Most of you will know by now that I generally prefer to preach on beautiful texts that tell us uplifting and life-affirming things. Our weeks are long, and our lives are challenging. And I was taught in seminary that the people in your church should leave Sunday morning feeling better than they did when they came in. Or at least, for goodness sake, not worse. And so I like to tell you how deeply you are loved by God. I like to remind us of how hope unseen is enough. And I'd like to remember that if we can keep our minds, hearts, and doors open, then we can accomplish a great deal together. But now and then, we need to face the hard expectations of our faith. That God expects something of us. That God asks that we put our prayers into action. That our lives not simply be lip service, but that we now and then rise up and do something to make this world better, safer, healthier, and more sustainable. By the time I went to bed Friday night, the numbers rolling in from the global climate strike were mind-blowing. More than 6.6 million people marched in countries across the globe from Friday the 20th to Friday the 27th. They were demanding policy change worldwide regarding our environment. Some are calling this the Greta effect. She certainly has a way about her that makes one want to act, or at the very least, take notice. Even Donald Trump tweeted about her. And if you saw a picture of her looking at him, then you'd be like, yes. She don't care. But she herself says that she's hardly the only one doing this work and certainly isn't the first. For generations, people have been doing this. People like Jane Goodall, Naomi Klein, Alden Peltier, who's a First Nations youth from Canada, and Sierra Harisi, and so many more, have stood up and spoken out. Modern day prophets, some would say. Remember, the key characteristic of being a prophet is that you tend to make people feel uncomfortable. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he says that creation waits. Again, and for the record, this letter is not about climate change. And yet I feel compelled to claim this line out of context for our morning anyway. For creation is groaning, and it is suffering. It is waiting for us to do something, or maybe more to the point, stop doing things. But we don't have to go so far away to find people who are acting out their faith when it comes to caring for this earth. I know of someone here at Calvary who ensures we use recyclable and biodegradable plates and cutlery when the real dishes aren't an option. I know of someone else who questioned our use of plastic communion cups and asked us to return to using the glass ones and offered to wash them after church. I know of someone who takes recycling in every week, and others who grow food organically in their gardens for care and share in Camp Tapalingo. I've seen people take seemingly small actions like sharing a bulletin or carpooling to church, or who turn down the heat, turn off the lights, and remind the minister to close her window. Jane Goodall once said, "Every individual matters. Every individual has a role to play. Every individual makes a difference. The least I can do is speak out for those who cannot speak for themselves. The greatest danger to our future is apathy." Not all of us are going to shout at world leaders at the UN, though I am certainly glad someone did. But I honestly feel apathy can't be an option for us either. We can all make small changes that add up over time. Goodall continues, "You cannot get through a single day without having an impact on the world around you. What you do makes a difference. You have to decide what kind of difference you want to make." So there's our question for today. As we draw to near the end of our season of creation, this planet keeps spinning. What kind of difference do we want to make upon it? Amen.